Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, February the 23rd, 54th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Mr. Dalen from the California Highway Patrol. You were reaching in your pocket for something. I'm glad it was ink-based.
It was just a pen.
Easy. You know, you're kind of, don't they train you guys like MacGyver? In the academy?
They do.
You can kill anybody with anything, starting with a Q-tip on the way out?
No, we're trained to kill you with kindness. You know, we kill you with the love.
So the gun?
The
gun's, car?
That's the protector. So.
Yeah. Oh, I see. It doesn't have anything to do with me. It's all about you.
It's all about me.
I knew that. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking, reviewing the crash that happened earlier this morning. It wasn't a fatal, right?
No, it wasn't a fatal.
Okay. Could have been.
Major, well, it's not done yet. So.
Okay. So we'll talk about what happened in that situation and then also kind of a review of some of the meetings that were held last week about the future of Broadway and Samoa Boulevard and the bridges and Samoa and all that kind of stuff that we kind of heard the front side of. Last week we'll hear Paul because he got to go.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, and take notes too.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't there just for the free food, so we'll find out what he got when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 416. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Paul Dalen from the California Highway Patrol, even though he's incognito today.
That's okay. Down day.
Yeah.
This is my Friday.
Dress
I'm going home.
way down day. Our quote this afternoon comes from Dwight D. Eisenhower, sometime between 1890 and 1969. Were you alive then?
No.
Okay.
Almost.
Well, he's not alive now, so that's okay. Peace and justice are two sides of the same coin. I thought you'd
very good.
Like to, you probably appreciate something along
those
lines.
Nice.
Yeah, you might even have a chance to remember that one without listening to the podcast, huh?
Oh, yeah, the podcast. That's
No, you haven't.
No, I have not.
P's and Q's, baby. P's and Q's. Let's do the current event stuff first. We had this morning the situation in Arcata.
Mm-hmm.
Bicycle, car, not normally a good mix.
No, never a good mix.
What happened, as far as you're aware at this point?
Well, both people were driving northbound at 14th, taking the 14th Street exit at that location.
This was
on
Arcata
101.
At
yeah,
14th.
This is on 101,
okay.
Just north of Samoa Boulevard, approaching the 14th Street exit, where the bicyclist was trying to traverse back onto 101.
Do what?
Traverse. Turn back onto 101.
Oh, okay.
So she's on the right shoulder, and she starts taking that 14th Street exit, but she wants to continue north. What appears is that she wanted to continue northbound on 101. So she went, she looked over her shoulder, but then pulled out right in front of a vehicle that was exiting at 14th Street. But it looked like she wanted to continue northbound on 101, so she wanted to get into the Gore Point back onto the east shoulder. So, she looked over her shoulder, but apparently either didn't recognize or didn't see that this vehicle was directly behind her, and she merged out into that lane and where he struck her.
Yeah, it was foggy.
Yeah, but fog wasn't a factor at all.
Okay.
Yeah, it was clear. The reports indicating it was clear and it was cool. So it wasn't. There was no other factor involved.
And the windshields were clean.
Yeah. Well.
See, I remember past discussions here.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Let's not talk about
mine
that.
Mine wasn't.
I got.
Let's
hammered.
Just say mine wasn't 100% this morning.
Fogged up.
But whoever was driving the cop truck.
Mm-hmm. Different story.
At your favorite coffee shop.
Oh, okay.
On Harrison.
Uh huh.
Pulled up same time I did. Went driving by. I waved.
Well, I guess
he waved.
There's an extreme what we're looking for.
When you get into a situation like that, Paul, when there's a bicycle on the highway.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I still look at bikes on the highway and go, who in their right mind, and I know this is non-PC and save the phone calls because I'm not going to change my mind.
Mm-hmm.
who rides a bike on a highway next to cars going 65 to 70 miles an hour?
Yeah.
When there are options.
Other options.
Like Old Arcata.
Right.
And some old Boulevard and the bridge. Yeah. Why would you do that?
You know, I don't know. Well, I know why the locals do that. I mean, they're talking about saving the environment. And I agree. You know, if you can exercise and stay healthy, ride your bicycle. But when you talk about the highway at 55 miles an hour, that's one thing. But when you get on the freeway where speeds are 65 and greater, there's absolutely no way that I would want to be out there. I mean,
it's just the wind drag.
Well, you know, and yeah, there's a lot of factors involved with it. It's just, you know, when you talk about, say, like someone of my structure here, you know, 180.
Short.
Yeah, short. Yeah, short compared to you.
There you go.
You know, with the total mass of 200 pounds, including the bike, versus a vehicle that's, you know, 6,000 pounds or an average of 5,000 pounds, you're not going to win, you know. Yeah, and I cringe. Yeah. The same thing as you. I cringe when I see those bicycles on the side of the road going where they're going. It's a great thing, but it's scary for me. You know?
Good idea, wrong place.
Well, it's a great idea, absolutely, and I, you know, and to be honest, we talked about this today after the crash. Is that I would love the fact that we would have like the Hammond Trail continue southbound and off the roadway completely, you know, or another trail of some sort to separate the, you know, the vehicles, the deadly weapons, away from the pedestrians and bicyclists. And that would be a great thing to have.
Now, that's not part of what's being discussed between Eureka and Arcata with the safety corridor and Caltrans and all that stuff from a couple of months ago, is it?
No, I don't know. You know, if it could be possibly something they could implement into the corridor, but that's not what I'm referring to. Just Humboldt County, but I mean anywhere. If there was another access road, I went to high school in Santa Barbara, and they had trails all along the 101 or the major highway where you could get to into Santa Barbara from Goleta without having to go on the highway. You know, it was great that you had the whole road to yourself as a bicyclist, and you can feel safe traversing that area.
And it was your bike.
Yeah, it was my bike.
And you weren't 45 years old riding in the middle of the night.
There you go. Yeah.
Qualifiers. Clearing things up. KINS, News and Information Times, 422. We'll be back with more from Paul Dalen.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 426. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Paul Dalen. Paul, so what's the status of the gal that was involved investigation or just the status of the whole incident with the
Well, we're still investigating, but we have a pretty good idea of what occurred through independent witnesses, not just the driver of the vehicle. We weren't able to get a statement from her. She was transported immediately. It was great that she was wearing a helmet, but you know, at these speeds, your head hitting concrete or asphalt with the helmet on, she did receive some more injury. So she did receive some injury and was transported to the hospital where she was taken out of the area.
Who has right of way? What is the, I guess, the vehicle code in that scenario?
Well, through traffic, it always has the right of way. So if you're on the freeway, the vehicle who has the right of way is the vehicle that's going straight, mainly. Now, if they were exiting, or like we talked about the merging onto the freeway, well, that the vehicle on the freeway has the right of way. The person getting on the freeway needs to yield to the traffic, build up the speed to the 65, and then merge in when it's safe. Now, in this case, the vehicle has the right of way because it was there. if it was all clear, she could have, it's legal for her to cross over the 14th Street exit. I mean, that was legal for her to do that. You just can't occupy the same space as another object, which in this case was a vehicle, which is a violation. So she's in violation.
Physics too, bud.
Yeah, physics too. Well, I wouldn't know about physics. I just know, you know, it's easy to say two things can occupy the same space, which is where you have the crash. So she is in violation of making an unsafe turning movement into that lane.
Now, if he had been coming, I'm presuming he, because you've used the pronoun,
he
was coming from the center lane,
mm-hmm.
as we tend to see right around 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, in that same exit area.
Right.
And shooting across two lanes. Not occupied.
Right.
Two lanes.
Mm-hmm.
Same outcome.
So it would be like we would use our independent witnesses to let us know what happened. If that bicyclist was in the lane or in the process and was in that lane to get to the other shoulder and that vehicle hit her, she has the right of way. So that bicyclist had the legal right to be there. But like I said, the through traffic was designated in that lane because the 14th Street is a designated lane for exiting.
We seem to have an inordinate amount of pedestrian activity on our highways, whatever we may call the highway.
Right.
Or wherever
highway,
it is.
Freeway. Yeah. Highway's okay.
Highway, freeway
is not okay.
Broadway. Either way.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, highway.
Yeah, highway is Broadway.
When there's pedestrian activity on the highway, does that throw in a whole different set of complications legally? Not safety stuff. I mean, that's... there's an IQ issue there too,
right? Yeah, there's
but
always
just
always
the basic issues, interaction,
safe and the law. When it comes to Broadway, when I drove through Eureka yesterday, and I had a lot right along with me, and there were several times where there was pedestrians at the crosswalk waiting to go, and they were inattentive. They weren't even paying attention, waiting for traffic to clear or stepping off the curb to let people know that they're ready to go across. And it's nice that you have some pedestrians will wait for a clearing before they make that overt action to
cross.
How
about the signal light change?
So that's your best way to go, is when that signal light is green to you, then you can go. Unfortunately, that's not always, people don't always follow that. I mean,
but
they
that
feel
is
like
the law, isn't it?
The law is, if it's green for the pedestrian to walk, then it's legal. They can walk. They
and
should
if it's
walk.
Red?
If it's red, they should be either getting out, if they've already committed inside of it when it turns red, they should be in a hurry to get out of that lane. Yeah, walk stroll a little faster getting out of that area. But it's legal, and they're covered. And like I said, we have to have independent witnesses to find the outcome. You know, it's typically we get that's a he said, she said type of issue where I had the right of way. So we really need an independent witness. And, you know, and we have physical evidence that helps us out to determine the cause of this crash. But pedestrians, a lot of pedestrians feel like they have the right of way all the time, and that's not the case. Vehicles have the right of way when they are committed in that lane, whether it's 255 out in Samoa or if it's in the city, you know, the city limits of Eureka on 101, also known as Broadway.
Does pedestrian priority ever come into play during a freeway or a highway situation?
Well, pedestrians are not allowed to be on a freeway at all. So if there's a pedestrian on the freeway, you should call them in, and we'll get out there to remove them off the roadway. You know, you'll find, and we do find, a lot of people hitchhiking, you know, getting from one place to the next. They make their way down from the roadway and then get onto the highway. Well, you're not allowed to be away from the gore points. So it is an issue. If you see them, get them off the road.
KINS, News and Information Times, 4:31.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lempus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 435. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon. Fisherman.
Oh, too much fun
and
here.
PIO for CHP, Paul Dalen.
I do it all. Humboldt's awesome with that activity. There's a lot of things to do. I'm going to go crabbing this weekend.
Good.
Yeah.
Let me know if you're successful.
I will.
If you're not, I don't really care.
Well, they'll give us something to talk about next time I'm here.
Yeah, we should talk. Bring one by. Forget the talk stuff. That's too easy. Yeah. Another situation happened a little bit later this morning in small little tranquil backwater Humboldt County.
Yeah.
You guys are rolling again at full boat.
Yeah. Around 11:30, we had a big rig heading southbound. Took the turn at Big Lagoon a little too fast and allowed his load to shift. He had a load of lumber on his big rig. And, caused it to overturn. And now he's blocked. I'm not sure if it's cleared up by now, but blocked the northbound lane where we had a reduced traffic flow. A lot of people were a little upset because they were sitting there for quite some time.
When a situation of that magnitude happens, I suppose it's a magnitude because it's two lanes.
Yeah, that's a scary thing. That's the scary thing about it. And what's nice is that he didn't hit anybody else. It was like, you know.
So he did it.
He did it when nobody else was affected by it,
right.
Which is a good thing if you have a crash.
As a person driving either oncoming or trailing, what does a load shift look like? I mean, I have visions.
Right.
I've never seen it. I've seen the logging trucks tipped over and milled timber or lumber tipped over. I've seen particle board all over the place. I mean, we've seen, but I've never been there traveling behind or coming up and a load shifts. I mean, what does it look like?
Well, it would be that if you can imagine the centrifugal force being pulled away in the opposite direction. Whatever the load is, in this case it was lumber, it just moves to one side, which makes the trailer basically top heavy on one side more than the other, and which causes the vehicle to go out to that centrifugal force, whatever side it's being pulled to, and causing it to go on one side wheels more than the other. Which
so the whole thing, it's out of his control at that point.
Yeah, it was completely out of his control. As soon as it shifted, pulled him to one side. He was now that driver became a passenger because the truck was going to do whatever it wanted to do. The centrifugal force or the kinetics and the energy in the springs allowed it to do whatever it wanted to do, which it went to it was outward seeking and then went to across the northbound lanes and then hit the left shoulder.
Fortunately, and of course, it didn't go the other way.
Yeah.
We went swimming.
Yep, that's true. Yeah, and he did spill some diesel fuel on the roadway, and so we're happy it just stayed on the roadway and not so much into the Big Lagoon. I mean, I like fishing in Big Lagoon, too. I love our area. I'm glad we're here.
It's big enough. A little bit of diesel probably isn't going to cause too much problem.
It probably wouldn't, but no.
The response would be huge.
It would be huge. Yeah. It would be way bigger than what it was today, for sure. If it was a tanker truck and that kind of incident happened, we'd be. I'd probably be up there still right now. You know, I wouldn't be here
dressed more formally,
of course. Yeah. Okay.
So when that happens, you guys
did
respond.
I tell you this is my Friday and I'm going.
Yeah,
home.
Yeah,
okay.
You know, tomorrow's my Friday. I still show up with long pants and a shirt on. Just for clarification, in case anybody out there.
No, let's clarify
really
this.
Concerned.
I got pants and shirts.
Yeah. Okay. Fine.
I just got tans on.
Yeah. When that happens, you guys get out there. Okay, the road is blocked, and it's the only option.
Right.
Okay, there's no detours.
Yeah, you're kind of stuck.
It's cleanup time?
It's cleanup time for sure. We get there, and we use all the resources we have that's local. We got the tow trucks up there right away to get this truck off the roadway. They have to bring in other trucks or trailers to unload and then reload the forklift. Yep. So and then with a diesel spill, that was most important. So we want to get out there with absorbent, get that cleaned up, get Caltrans out there to help us with traffic control, get other allied agencies out there to help with traffic control.
Traffic control is called a barricade on both sides. And that's,
Tulane, you're just stuck. You're not
work
going
the snow
anywhere.
Cone machine a little bit to keep people kind of somewhat placated.
Yeah. Well, you know, when we get one lane open, then that's when we could use the help alternating traffic. If we can't see each other, you know, we use radios or while we're investigating the crash, we allow the allied agencies or Caltrans to conduct the flow of traffic for us. But that kind of cleanup was pretty quick, pretty easy. Or is pretty easy, because I'm not sure if they're done yet or not. But compared to losing some fuel or more fuel, that would be a hazmat situation where it would be a lot longer cleanup.
You bring out the guys in the funny suits. And,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. A lot of digging going on and making sure that there is not one drop.
Not like the old days. You strike a match and boom, okay, it's gone.
You have the fire guys come out there and hose it off the freeway with their hoses. Yeah. No, that's not that. No, we get everybody involved. The Board of Supervisors, the public health. We get fish and game out there to make sure that, you know, our.
For a large one.
For
not
a large
not
one.
For this
not
morning.
Not for this one, no. No, well, they get notified, but nothing. We didn't need any other sources to come in and help us with that cleanup. It was pretty simple.
It's almost surprising it doesn't happen more regularly.
That's true.
It used to. I can remember driving through, and I think it's the same stretch that I'm seeing in my head. Not that I know milepost markers, but
right. I know what you're talking about, yeah.
And there'd always be, you know, some lumber down there on the beach next to the, you know, somebody dropped something and they hauled everything out, but, you know, there was some that was out floating and wash up, and you'd see it for a little bit of time and then turn into driftwood or whatever. And it doesn't happen nearly as often as what you would imagine through some of those areas now.
Right. The thing is, you know, when you talk about the traffic volume and big rigs versus the standard vehicles that we drive, you know, and how many miles they actually put on the roadway and how many hours are on the roadway, you would think that it would be more. And actually, at one time it was a lot more. In matter of fact, big rigs were causing more crashes per capita of the vehicles that they were driving than any other category. So we go out there and educate and enforce, and it gets them to slow down. And, you know, and going through where this crash happened, Caltrans did a great job by putting all these notifying warning signs and, hey, your speed is this, and slow down. And so if you're coming through the area, you're familiar with it. I'm not sure if this guy, the driver of the big rig, was from this area, but, you know, the signs there will tell you to slow down. But sometimes it gets away from you.
KINS, notice no comment. KINS, news and information time. It's 4:41. We'll be back with more from Paul Dalen.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time. It's 4:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Paul Dalen. Paul, last week, I guess we're not going to get to Manila, but last Thursday, we also had the Safeway truck overturn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeehaw. Yeah. Okay, I mean, we're just having so much fun around here, we got to do it two or three different times. what was the response to that? And how did it vary from what you had this morning with the lumber truck situation?
Well, the response is basically the same. We respond to it, and you know, we can actually go off of a cue card. I mean, we know who to call as soon as this happens. Dispatch makes all the notification. Who's supposed to exactly? Yeah, it's the who, what, when, where's, and why's, and we respond. And once we get there as an officer, we can establish what we really truly need to have there. And the similarity is pretty much is the same, besides the fact with a Safeway truck, it wasn't a speed issue. It was an unsafe turning movement. That driver allowed his vehicle to drift off the road where it hit a parked car. You know, in the mention of the load shifting was never stated in this.
Parked car. Or abandoned there was car, an, there was or whatever a you want to call
well,
it.
Well, we'll call it a disabled vehicle. I mean, if you want to talk about our terms.
Was it going flashy, well, like it was just there?
No, it was just parked there.
This was a parking lot on the side of the highway kind of thing.
So let me tell you what happened. Actually, the person who parked that car there walks up after the crash and is like, hey, where's my car? Well, what had happened was she was going to work. The car broke down at that particular location on a curve. And she had a friend come and pick her up, and the vehicle is parked there. So it's disabled. It's allowed to be there. If your vehicle breaks down, it can stay there for a couple of hours before it gets towed by us. You have 4 hours, basically. And so by the time she came back, it was gone because the Safeway driver happened to drift off the road and hit it. But the response for that was it was better because there wasn't any diesel fuel leak or any hazardous material that was deposited on the highway.
I happened to go by about an hour later going south and then came back up, and it was still there. So I kind of saw what it looked like. It must have torqued on the back of the trailer or the tractor, rather.
Yeah.
Did the tractor flip, or was it just there and the trailer just did the flipping?
No, the the pull truck, the big
tractor
rig.
Tractor.
Yeah, the tractor.
Thank you.
If that makes you happy. Actually flipped. Yeah, it flipped, and then, you know, it got, you know, the cattywampus where it was tweaked in the back. But you saw that it didn't break away, which is a good thing. That's what you don't want is a trailer coming off of the tractor and going out of control. That would have been a scary ride for the driver.
I would imagine the guy right behind
the
truck would have had a little bit of excitement as well.
Yeah, and we're really, really, really thankful that disabled vehicle was not occupied, because it probably wouldn't. They wouldn't have fared so well.
Not much left.
No, there wasn't.
So you have 4 hours if your car breaks down on the side of the road.
On the freeway.
Okay.
So if it's the speed limit 65, or you have on and off ramps, you have 4 hours to get your vehicle off the roadway.
So for us, it's called 101 pretty much?
Pretty much 101.
Thanks. Okay.
Yeah, but if you're in the corridor, you have 3 days. But because of the safety corridor,
Because the speed limit's a little less?
Yeah, it's a highway. It's considered a highway. But our policy is here locally, the ordinance, we try to remove it as soon as possible because it does have a designated bike lane, and we don't want the bicyclists to pull out in traffic. So if you break down, get your vehicle off the roadway as fast as possible.
Did you do a good job in geometry growing up?
No, I couldn't stand math.
Okay.
Math, right? Geometry.
No. Yeah. Well, I mean, you're going square to rectangle here with highway and freeway. You've got it all dialed in.
Right.
I'm going, well, no, it's a square. Everything's a rectangle. Everything's a rectangle. Highway, freeway. I don't. Basically, you got a little bit of short time. Pay attention. Don't stand out on the highway when your car's broken down and you're making your cell phone call.
Right. Well, that's it too. I stopped somebody the other day to assist them, thinking that it broke down. Nope, they were on their cell phone. If you're going to make a phone call, get off the freeway completely.
Oh, man. You have such a fun job.
Love it.
Hey. But it looks like you're on your weekend, so that's all right. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love and see you tomorrow.